It is Friday, September 18th. It is time for Creation Club. Good morning, Pastor Worth.
Good morning, Andy.
A blessed Friday, sir. How are you today?
I'm doing well, and I hope you are too.
I am. It's a good Friday, although it looks like we might get some thunderstorms today, but all part of God's good creation, right?
This is true. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. And so, we certainly need the refreshing rain so that we may have seed for the sower and bread for the eater.
So if I get rained on today, which am I, the just or the unjust?
You are among those who are justified by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we receive God's good blessings with thanksgiving. And we know that just as he sends the rain on the earth that it may produce food and so forth, he blesses his word. He says, my word will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish that which I please and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. So we pray that's true also today as we consider God's word about creation and about how that works over against claims of things like missing links.
Amen. And well, let's take a look. We started the conversation last week with I think we talked about some new possible ancestors or new what they were. What did they find? Artifacts or the skeletons of what they think might be humans, but they weren't sure.
Okay, what we had actually was, you're right, there was an article and also an audio clip that you played last week, and an article that about something that had appeared in lots of news sources. The AP had a headline, "Study: Bones in South African Cave Reveal New Human Relative," and there were other headlines that were similar to that. And we then responded to that by reading Ken Ham's response from the Answers in Genesis website, where the title of his was "Supposed Human Ancestor Found in African Cave?" And then he, you know, said, "Well, we're going to look at this and give you a more complete report later," which is what we're going to turn to in just a moment. Also, last week we had taken a little bit of time to consider. There's a DVD out by Answers in Genesis in which Dr. David Menton analyzes the claims about human beings evolving from ape-like creatures, and he takes that very carefully and looks at every part of that and comes down to basically there's only three ways to make an ape man. One is to combine ape fossil bones with human fossil bones and then to declare that the two are one individual. And that's one fraudulent way that people try to make an ape man. A second is that people will take ape fossils, but they will try to emphasize what they call certain human-like qualities of the fossilized ape bones. And with their imagination, they try to make the ape more human-like. And then the reverse of that is sometimes people will take fossilized human bones and try to emphasize what they call certain ape-like qualities and, using their imagination, try to downgrade those ancient humans to be more ape-like. So that's the three different ways that people try to make an ape man when there's really no such thing as an ape man. God made people to be people and apes to be apes. In the beginning, he said everything would reproduce after its own kind, and that's still the way it is. That's what we actually observe. So we are grateful that Answers in Genesis does such a thorough job of searching these things out and researching them. And so they do have the response by Dr. Elizabeth Mitchell that came out on September 12th, and her title is Homo naledi a new species of human ancestor? And she analyzes this very neatly, and let me just, I'll give you the answer at the beginning, and then we'll look at it a little more carefully as time permits here. Basically, when you read through Dr. Elizabeth Mitchell's report on this, she finds that of the three ways to make an ape man, Dr. Lee Berger, the one who's making all these great claims about Homo naledi, is doing number two out of the three ways to make an ape man. He's taking ape fossil bones and trying to find ways to make it seem more human-like, and we're using his imagination trying to make these ape fossil bones seem to be human when they don't really seem to be that way at all when you really look at this carefully and look at all the different aspects of the find. So let's kind of go through some of the main points that Dr. Mitchell emphasizes. First of all, she points out that Homo naledi, a South African fossil assemblage classified as a new Homo species by paleoanthropologist Lee Berger, is stirring up controversy as evolutionists debate its identity and significance. The cache of 1,550 bones and bone fragments was recovered from loose dirt in the nearly inaccessible Dinaledi chamber of South Africa's Rising Star cave system. The fossils were harvested by a team of slender scientists and spelunkers who had to belly crawl 80 meters through a narrow tunnel, climb a rock wall, and then drop down a chute into the chamber where other spelunkers had reported finding bones. The bones seemed to belong to at least 15 infants, juveniles, and adults of the same species, whatever it is. Now, Berger's team believes the bones paint a mosaic picture of a species mixing human-like Homo and Australopithecine ape features. Notices they were constructed from piecing together bone fragments that were found. They did four partial skulls in the assemblage, and when you put them together and to try to make a skull out of them, it appears that they had small brain capacities between 560 cc's and 465 cc's, and that would be similar to the Australopithecine apes, which would be like Lucy, which was a lot more like an orangutan, not a human at all. It says these brain cases are much smaller than even ancient human skulls that have been found, and also they're half for modern humans, which are between like 1,000 and 1,500 cc's. So there's no visible evidence on these skulls of a protruding nasal bone that's typical of all humans. So when Dr. Menton shows you two skulls, sometimes something he does that gets a laugh out of the audience as he takes off his eyeglasses and he tries to put the eyeglasses on the skull. And when it's a human skull, the eyeglasses will stay on because there's on a human skull, there's a little protruding piece of bone there, and that's where the eye pads on your glasses fit, and so the glasses will actually stay on the human skull that way. But if it's an ape skull, there's no way it will because apes have no protruding bone there. Well, the skulls that they put pieced together from the bones that were found in this South African cave, they're ape skulls, both because they don't have the nasal protruding bones, but they also have a sloped lower face, which again is typical of ape skulls. And if you would have the eye sockets, which it appears from the photos that they do not have the eye sockets from the skulls, but ape skulls, you don't have the orbits that go back in the eye so that you can see the side of your eye if you have a side view of the skull. It's more, you can't see the eyes because there's a protruding part of the bone that comes forward on an ape skull that goes curved backward on a human skull so that you can see the eye socket even in a side view of the skull. So again, it appears that this is an ape skull, and so that points to an ape. These are probably ape remains. Other evidence that points to these being ape remains is they looked at the shoulder joints and the finger bones. And the finger bones are curved, and the nature of the shoulder joints also is consistent with what we find in fossils of apes that are tree swingers, tree dwellers, so that they swing from tree branches. The shape of the finger bones, the shoulder joints point to that. Likewise, when they looked at the hips are flared hips that are typical of Australopithecine apes. They're not like human hips at all. Likewise, there's claims by Berger and his team that there's generally human-like ankle and foot bones, but when they looked at this more carefully, they said this really isn't necessarily the case. They don't have all the bones there to make that claim, and it could be inconsistent with an arched foot, but there's nothing there that is definitely human. It could be it's got a different orientation than a typical modern human foot. Likewise, the the wishful thinking of the evolutionists who were wanting to trump up this supposed ancient human-like ancestor. They said that the hands seemed to be able to manipulate tools. But again, when a careful examine of the hands from the bones, they really don't have anything that indicates that they belong to a human. They do not appear to have a grip that was engineered to handle tools and stone axe. They're much more like orangutan and other tree-dwelling ape hands, and they're more inconsistent with that kind of hand that shows it was probably swinging from tree branches, not wielding tools. And this is an important find. There were no tools or other items, no other artifacts of, you know, manufactured artifacts that would have indicated that they were human at all, because there were no tools or other items associated with human culture that were found in the cave. When they looked at the teeth, they had some teeth in a jawbone. The tooth morphology does not match that of humans and is more ape-like. So you get back to the question, then, what are we really looking at here? Mm-hmm. You know? Well, it appears that what we have is some ancient ape. Whether it's the Australopithecus that we have other examples of or not, that remains to be seen. But it's really not the game changer that Dr. Berger tries to make it out to be. And of course, whenever you're in that business, you want to make a name for yourself. So you've got to try to emphasize, I found the find that's the missing link. I'm mm-hmm. finding the one that's at the, in this case, he's claiming that it's at the root of the Homo family tree. And so he's making a big splash for it. But there are other people who do believe in evolution, who are scientists who think that this is overblown. A couple of them, Tim White and William Jungers, both claim that they believe that the bones are Homo erectus. But again, as Dr. Mitchell examines this, even that's overblown, because the Homo's classification, she believes, is just really off base. It's just wishful thinking. And again, now these finds have not been dated with radiometric dating or other dating methods. And so Berger and his evolutionary believing colleagues, you know, will have presuppositions in which they'll say, well, we think this would fit here, and so they estimate an age because of where they want to believe a fossil of a certain type ought to be if evolution is true. So they speculate anywhere from 2 to 3 million years old, but
that's a lot of speculation.
it is a lot of speculation, and it's a lot of wishful thinking on their part. So, and that's the way a lot of this actually works, is people sometimes think that they've proven this. So if they read in a newspaper article that they say that these may be 2 to 3 million years old, people overlook the word maybe and believe, like, well, they proved it. And, well, no, they haven't proven it. In fact, Dr. Mitchell points out, if they do radiocarbon dating, and if there is carbon-14 that is present in these fossils, then that would rule out millions of years, because the half-life of radioactive carbon is such that after less than 100,000 years, there shouldn't be any left, which is an important thing that we've talked about in other programs, mm-hmm. that the very fact that there is measurable radioactive carbon in things like diamonds and coal prove that rocks are not millions of years old or billions of years old, as scientists claim, is much, much younger. So that's something, evidence that actually points to a young Earth rather than the old Earth that they want you to believe in. Hmm. And here's the big thing that the articles keep talking about that promote Dr. Berger's find here and want to claim that it actually was an early kind of human, say that nature was experimenting with how to evolve humans, thus giving rise to several different types of human-like creatures originating in parallel in different parts of Africa. Only one line eventually survived to give rise to us. And that's their evolutionary fairy tale talking there. But Dr. Mitchell takes a sober look at that and says, you know, nature experimented. Such a comment reflects a worldview that imbues personified random natural processes with godlike power while rejecting nature's God, the creator God of the Bible. We know from God's word that nature did not experiment with how to evolve humans. God told us that he created two human beings, as well as all land animals, and that includes apes, on the same day, the sixth day of creation. That means there is no evolution involved. And scientific observation also confirms that living things only vary and reproduce within their created kinds. To this day, that's what we observe in nature. Therefore, whatever species these bones represent, we know that they cannot be any sort of intermediate between apes and humans. The only way to find an ape man or a bridge between apes and humans is to misinterpret fossils of either an ape or a human as something in between. And that's what we pointed out from Dr. Menton's talks before last week already. Now, here's something also I think that we want to admit, that there's the fragmentary nature of the fossils that we're finding can make identification of the fossils difficult. But looking at all the facts that we've already talked about, it had the remains show a sloped ape-like face, a jaw and shoulder and curved fingers and toes that seem ape-like, a rib cage that also is consistent with an ape, and a flared pelvis that are all consistent with an Australopithecine ape. It appears that the fossil evidence really points to this being an ape, not a human. Well, then what's going on here? Well, what you have with Dr. Berger and the others is that they're making claims that this extinct ape was some kind of a human, because it's based on their worldview and their interpretation by superimposing upon the actual hard fossil evidence their belief that man came from and evolved from an ape-like ancestor. And so that's really what's going on here. Answers in Genesis biologist Dr. David Menton also has examined these findings, and this is what he writes. I am not convinced that H. naledi is human, and I don't recognize the status of near human. From what I can see from the fossils and skull reconstruction, H. naledi had a sloped lower face and a very robust mandible that bears little resemblance to humans. It also has a small cranium, and the proximal and medial phalanges of the hand are even more curved than on Australopithecus afarensis, that's Lucy, suggesting an ape-like creature. So again, Dr. Menton is very much in agreement with Dr. Mitchell that this is an ape-like creature, probably like an orangutan or something, and definitely not a human. And, you know, one of the things that Dr. Berger and the liberal media that have been promoting his find have been saying, well, wait, you know, how did all these bones get to be piled up together in the deep recesses of this cave? And so he, again, using speculation, using a very vivid imagination, imagines that these creatures had a sense of life and death and mortality similar to humans, at least in some primitive way, and that they must have had some kind of primitive burial ritual that moved them to carry the dead deep into this cave to bury them with some kind of burial ritual. And other scientists, even the ones who believe in evolution, are saying, you know, that's a media ploy. You know, this stuff, it makes great headlines and gets a lot of sensationalism, but it's not really rational. It's not a good scientific explanation. So here, William Jungers, an evolution-believing scientist, says, intentional disposal of rotting corpses by fellow pinheads makes a nice headline, but seems like a stretch to me. And the University of Zurich's Christoph Zollikofer says, the new species and dump the dead claims are clearly for the media. None of them is substantiated by the data presented in the publications. So, and this is people who themselves still believe in evolution, but they think that Dr. Berger is just, you know, making sensational claims that really won't stand up under scientific scrutiny. So, and once again, Berger makes these claims that, you know, we're not sure what makes us distinctly human. You know, when we look at something ancient like this, it kind of blurs the line between humans and apes. Well, Dr. Mitchell says that's not so. You know, We do know what it means to be human from God's Word, the Bible. We do know how we got here from God's Word, the Bible. God, our Creator, tells us that He made humans in His own image. And He's given us, not animals, the capacity to know Him. And from His Word, we have learned the significance of death, that death is a result of human rebellion against God, and humans have had to face death ever since Adam sinned. These fossils, like so many others before them, may reshuffle the family tree that evolutionists are constantly drawing and redrawing in their efforts to create for us a history apart from God. But they will not reshuffle the truth about human history or what it means to be human. We know that God created man and land animals the same day, and He did it without evolution. We seriously doubt the original owners of these bones, namely these apes, were among the descendants of Adam and Eve, as the preponderance of the evidence suggests they were animals, one of the variations that developed among the apes. They most certainly were not any sort of human evolutionary intermediate. On the other hand, we know that all varieties of humans that have ever lived have been descendants of Adam and Eve. The variations that developed in some groups of humans dispersed from the Tower of Babel have nothing to do with human evolution. Most importantly, we know not only where we came from, but where we can know where we are going. Unlike apes, we really are able to be concerned about our destiny after death, and we have a safe, eternal destiny available to us through trust in our Creator, Jesus Christ, as our Savior. And that's where we always want to bring these discussions, back to Jesus Christ, who is, according to the Bible, the second Adam. So when Adam and Eve messed up and disobeyed God, you know, God sent His own Son, Jesus, who is true God and true man, our Savior. And Jesus, though tempted in every way as we are, was without sin. And then He offered up His perfect life as the all-atoning sacrifice on Calvary's cross to atone for the sins of Adam and all of Adam's descendants, so that by God's grace we might be forgiven and saved eternally through faith in Jesus, the Son of God, who died for us and rose again.
Amen.
That's the truth.
That is the truth. And to the truth we say, amen.
Yes, indeed. Amen, amen.
God's blessings on your week, Pastor Worth.
God bless you too, Andy.
Coming up in just a little bit, Morning Prayer. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.